A word for the discouraged. A word for the discouraged. It's a truth the Lord's had me preach before, but it's one of my favorite stories and one of my favorite truths, and I really sense the Lord's put it upon my heart this morning, and I believe someone's going to walk out of here strengthened and encouraged by the faithfulness of our God. I want you to go with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 13 and then jump to verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came into a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of the coals there, and a fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you now have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of them disciples does ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Go with me to verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So here in our story, I just want to start out very simply by saying that Peter is discouraged. Peter is in a very difficult time, a very hard season in his walk with the Lord. And in his discouragement, Peter says to the other disciples, he says, I go a fishing. And the disciples respond to him, we go fishing with you. And what we see in this story, when you really look at it, is we see discouraged men, discouraged people returning back to what was once familiar to them. That's what we see. They're going back to their boats. They're going back to their nets. They're going back to things that were once a very important part of their life. And ultimately, they're going back to things that are familiar. And I just want to say here that I believe with all my heart that there are times and seasons of that God's people go through times of discouragement. We go through these times where we're just very discouraged in our walk with God. And I believe one of our most discouraging times comes when we're just in a place of personal failure, a place that we're just really failing somewhere in our walk with God. And when I talk about personal failure, I'm not talking about falling into gross sin. I'm not talking about falling into blatant sin, but just a horrible discouragement that comes into our heart, that we feel in our heart somewhere in our walk with God, we're not measuring up to the standard that God has set for our life. That in somewhere in our walk with God, we just sense that God is frowning upon us, that God is disappointed with where we're at, that we're not really meeting the mark in this one area that he's put before our life. And then this horrible sense of discouragement just takes her heart. And then on top of that, the enemy comes and he exploits this horrible sense of failure with his lies, and he comes against our mind and he just begins to bombard our minds, and we really begin to feel overwhelmed in this place of discouragement. And sometimes the temptation is simply to give up and go back to the things that we're familiar with. Go back to things that once had an important place in our heart and our life, and try to find some kind of comfort there. Sometimes the temptation is to return to the things we've laid down in the past. Maybe old pursuits, maybe old agendas, maybe old dreams. The temptation is to turn back to these things and try to one more time rekindle them in our heart and our life and find comfort there. Find some kind of purpose there. Find some kind of sense of achievement there. And we return to these things hoping to find some sort of comfort in these things. And in our story, we see that Peter returns fishing. He goes back to his nets and his boats. And the scriptures say that he and the other disciples, they fished all night, but they caught nothing, that their nets were empty. And to me, the emptiness of their nets represents the emptiness of it all. That the things that we return to in the past, things we looked for in comfort, it leaves us absolutely empty. Leaves us absolutely comfortless. And then even a greater despair begins to fill our hearts, because these things that we desperately trusted in, we tried to rekindle within our life again, hoping to find some kind of fulfillment, some kind of comfort, it leaves us absolutely disappointed. And so there's even a greater despair that comes and takes our life. And then Jesus comes to his disciples in their despair, but they didn't recognize Jesus. Look with me again at verse 4. It says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And I believe one of the reasons why they didn't recognize it was Jesus is because they had fallen so far into their pit of discouragement. They had fallen so far into their pit of disappointment and despair. And brothers and sisters, there's not a more miserable place in the world to be than that. There's not a more miserable place in all the world to be. And when you feel so overwhelmed by your discouragement, and you've gotten your focus so much off Christ and so much on ourselves, and we begin to find ourselves absolutely consumed by our despair, absolutely consumed by our self-pity, absolutely consumed by the disappointment in our life, and we have fallen so deep in our pit of despair that we can no longer see Christ anymore. I think that's the most miserable place in the world to be, when you're just so consumed by these things, by the discouragement, by the despair, and you can no longer see Christ. It's a horrible place to be if you've ever been there. I've been there. But then Jesus comes and he speaks to Peter. And I just want to praise the Lord here that he knows how to come to us and speak to our hearts. No matter how far deep we've fallen into our pit of despair and discouragement, the Lord knows how, and Lord knows when to come to our hearts and begin to speak life into us again. And I want you to look with me at verse 5. Verse 5, Jesus is on the shore and he says, then Jesus says unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. So Jesus says to them, you've been fishing all night. Have you caught anything? Do you have any meat? And what Jesus is doing is he's asking them a very heart-searching question. He's not just asking them, did you have a good luck tonight? Did you catch any fish? He's asking them a very heart-searching question. And what he's saying is there any life in what you're doing now? Is there any life at all in what you're doing? Is there any life at all in what you're pursuing? Is there any life in all these things you're trying to find comfort with? Is there any life in the boats and the nets and the fish? Is there any life here? Is there any fulfillment of heart in what you're doing? And Peter answers no. And brothers and sisters, when you love Jesus with all your heart, your answer will always be no. It will always be no. See, brothers and sisters, when you love the Lord with all of your heart, and you're walking in intimacy with Christ, in that place of intimacy, after having him so personally, visiting your heart with his wonderful presence, after having him so personally, breathe life into his word and speak to your heart on a personal basis, after having his life within you and walking in that life and that fellowship with the Lord, there is absolutely nothing the world has that can replace that. Your answer will always be no. Even if you build something successful in the eyes of men, your answer will always be no. There's no fulfillment. There's no contentment. There's no life in this. Brothers and sisters, as saints of the Lord, we have something the world doesn't have. We have something the world doesn't have. When the world thinks of Jesus, all they think of a name. It's just a name, Jesus. It's just a name. People go to church and they talk about this man, Jesus. But when you have truly given him your life, he personally comes. His intimate presence comes into your heart. His intimate life comes into his heart. His comfort, his fulfillment, everything that is in Christ, he comes into your life. And there's such an intimacy with God. And to the world, he is just a name. But to someone who truly loves the Lord, he becomes your everything. Everything. And the world has nothing that compared to the intimate presence of God coming into your life. And the answer will always be no. No, there's no life in this. There's no fulfillment in this. But then in the Lord's great goodness, he begins to speak to Peter and the disciples, and he tells them something. He's beginning to draw them out of this pit of despair. Would you look with me at verse 6? John 21, verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So in other words, Jesus, what happens here, Jesus gives them a commandment, a very simple commandment. They obey the commandment, and they see a great miracle. The fish begin to flood into this net. And here's what Jesus is saying to them. If you will come back to simple obedience to my will, if you'll come back to simply seeking my heart again and finding out what my desire is for your life, what my will is for your life, you will find the life again. If you will come back to putting yourself back upon the altar and saying, God, even in this place of personal failure where I just feel so discouraged, God, I just desire your will for my life. God, I just desire to walk with you according to your plan. I just desire to come back into obedience to what you desire for my life. The Lord is saying, you will find the life again. And not only will you find the life again, but you'll find everything that is involved in that life. You'll find your joy again. You'll find your peace again. You'll find your contentment again. You'll find your hope again when you come back to simply seeking out my will for your life. That's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, I know you feel overwhelmed. I know you feel in a pit that is so deep. But I'm telling you, if one more time you'll just come back to my heart, seek my will, put your heart back on the altar. Lord, what is your obedience for my life? I'm telling you, you'll come out of that pit and you'll find life again. Look with me at verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. So in verse 7, we see that the disciples, the eyes of the disciples, are now open to see and recognize Christ. And brothers and sisters, that is the overall purpose of this miracle. This miracle wasn't about filling fish with a net. I really love this. When Jesus performs miracles for his disciples, not for the crowds and multitudes, in the Bible for his disciples, you see his overall purpose is simply open up the eyes of their heart to see him. Because he knows to a disciple, the miracles are wonderful, but more than anything, what I want, I just want to see you. I want to know you. So the whole purpose of this miracle is to dissolve that morbid cloud of despair over their hearts. And one more time calls them to see him. And when Peter sees Jesus, he is blinded to everything else but Christ. And he launches into the deep and he begins to swim to Christ. And I believe with all my heart, when Peter saw and recognized Jesus, there was a cry that came into his heart. And that cry is simply this, Jesus is alive. And nothing else matters right now to me. Jesus is alive and nothing else has greater importance to me. Whatever he wants to do, if he wants to reprove me, if he wants to scold me, he can do whatever he wants to do. But what means more to my heart than anything else in this world is that he is alive and I never want to be separated from him again. No matter where he leads me, no matter what he says to me, no matter what he asks of me, I will follow, I will obey, because I never want to be separated from him again. When his eyes was open to see Jesus, he began to realize what the most precious thing to his heart was. And that was Jesus. And there just came a cry in his heart. Lord, you're the most precious thing in the world to me. And when I get to the shore, if you want to upbraid me for my unbelief, if you want to scold me for my failure, that's fine. Lord, I never want to be separated from you again. That was the cry of his heart. My life isn't found in old nets and boats. Jesus, you are the most precious thing in my life. I never want to be separated from you again. Look with me at verse 9. It says, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of the coals there, and a fish lay thereon in bread. Jump with me to verse 12. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. So we see when they get to the shore, Jesus gives them a very priceless, priceless invitation. And that is to come sit in my presence and dine with me. Come sit in my presence one more time and commune with me. And it says if Jesus is saying this, I am looking into your hearts and I see your deep love for me. I see that your desire above all desires is to be in my presence and commune with my heart. I see in your heart your desire of desires is to bring glory and honor to me. It's as if the Lord is saying to Peter, Peter, I know why you're discouraged. I know why you went back to your nets and your boats, because you feel like you have failed me. You feel like you have deeply wounded and disappointed me. But Peter, more than anything else in this earth, I desire my people, even in times of great personal failure, to come and sit and commune with my heart. Brothers and sisters, this is the faithfulness of God. He knows how to come to us in our times of failure. He knows how to come to us in our times of discouragement. And one more time, woo us back to communion with his heart. He knows how to come one more time and say, more than anything else, I just desire that you sit in my presence and hear my heart and let me hear your heart. And in this place of coming back into his presence, that God begins to one more time speak life into us. One more time begins to speak hope into us. One more time begins to assure our hearts that he's doing something in our life in spite of the times that we see this personal failure in our life. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's the desire of his heart. And look with me at verse 12 again. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples did ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So verse 12 says, when Jesus said, come and dine, the disciples didn't ask him, who are you? Because there was a knowing in their heart that it was the Lord. Now, that word knowing means to know by seeing. Now, here's my point. When you just read through this story, and it says they knew that it was the Lord, we get the impression they knew that it was the Lord because they saw the miracle. They knew that it was the Lord because they fished all night, didn't catch any fish. He gives them a commandment. Now they pull in a whole boatload of fish. And they saw this miracle and they knew it was the Lord by the miracle. But when you really look into this story, and when you really feel the heartbeat of the story, it goes so much deeper than that. They knew that it was the Lord because the heart that they saw in him. That's how they knew that it was the Lord. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They knew his tender mercy. They knew his words of strength and comfort in times of great personal weakness. And they knew it was Christ's heart to speak to a people that have done absolutely nothing to merit his favor, to sit with him. And it was only his mercy that invited them into such a sacred place of intimacy and communion. That's how they knew it was the Lord. Because they saw the heart that was in him. This could only be the Lord. In such a time of personal failure and discouragement, it could only be the Lord to call us one more time back into His presence. One more time back to that place where you simply have that intimate fellowship with His heart. They knew it was the Lord. And because they so knew His heart, they didn't sit feeling condemned in His presence, but there was just a gratefulness in their heart to be in His presence again. Just such a gratefulness. Oh God, I'm just so grateful to one more time be able to sit in Your presence again. The disciples weren't sitting with Christ loaded down with guilt saying, I'm not worthy to be here. No, they were sitting there with this in their hearts. This is Jesus, and there's no other place in the world I would rather be than sitting in His presence. That's what was in their heart. And brothers and sisters, I think personal failure has a way of bringing back the preciousness of His presence again. I think personal failure has a way of one more time causing you to understand just how priceless and how precious it is just to sit in His presence. I believe that with all my heart. Sometimes we can get familiar with His presence. Sometimes we can get used to sitting in His presence. But then those times when in your heart you know that you need His mercy, and His mercy is there for you. One more time you begin to realize just how precious and how priceless it is to sit in the presence of the Lord. There's a cry that comes in your heart. I'm sitting in His presence not because I did anything to merit this place of honor. But I'm only here sitting in His presence because He loves me so deeply and I am precious to Him. That's why I'm sitting in His presence. One more time that preciousness comes back to your heart. One more time we come to church and sit in pews, and sitting in the pew isn't a familiar place to us anymore. It's not my same spot I sit every Sunday. You're not even thinking about that anymore. God, I'm just honored to be here. I'm honored. Your presence is priceless. The honor just to sit in Your presence is priceless. Lord, Your mercy does endure forever. It's only by Your mercy I can draw my next breath. It's only by Your mercy I can stand before You. And God, it is a precious place. Just to be in Your presence is the most precious place in the world to me. There's something in this story the Lord really wants us to see again. Put a marker on John 21. You should go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Look with me at verse 3. It says, and Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. I want you to look at those last four words. It says, and their net broke. Now go with me back to John chapter 21. Look with me at verse 11. It said, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Yet was not the net broken. This is what I want you to realize. In the disciples' very first encounter with Christ, their very first early meeting with Christ, the Bible says that their net broke when they drew in the fish. But after walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, they pull in their nets, and their nets do not break. Their nets remain strong. And I believe in this, Jesus is revealing the work that He's done in their hearts. These nets remaining strong, these nets not breaking, even though they're overloaded with fish, represents what the Lord has done in their hearts. See, through these unbroken nets, Jesus is saying this, you have a strength in me that you didn't have before. You have a might in me that you didn't have before. In these 3.5 years that you have walked with me, I have been faithful to do something in your hearts that you could not do in yourself. That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, I know you're in a pit of discouragement. I know you're in a place of great personal failure, and I know you're in a place of discouragement, but I want you to see is this. You have a strength in me that you didn't have before, because I have been faithful to work in your heart. I've been faithful to work in your life. Don't let your discouragement blind you to my faithfulness in your life. I have been faithful and I have done a good work in your life. You have a strength in me, not in yourself, but in the Lord. And ultimately what Jesus is saying is this. I know you feel discouraged, but you need to come back into faith. You need to come back into faith. The Lord is saying, in spite of personal failure, I'm doing a work in your heart. I'm being faithful to you. I'm being faithful to make you into something you could never be in your own strength. You need to come back in the faith. And I feel really strongly impressed to bring this point out. I believe there's someone here sitting in a place of discouragement. Maybe you're walking in a place of great personal failure, or you just feel like there's a place in your life you're not measuring up. But the Lord doesn't want you to lose sight of this truth, that He's doing something good in your heart. He's doing something good in your life. And you need to come back to simply trusting that God knows what He's doing in your life. He knows what He's doing in our heart and our life. The Lord is saying, yes, you may have experienced times of personal failure, even times of seemingly great personal failure. But never lose sight of the truth that I'm doing a work in your heart and that I am being glorified in your life. I am being glorified in your life. Look with me at verse 17 and 18. I just want to end with this. So many things we can talk about here. There's just really one thing that's on my heart from the Lord. Verse 17 and 18. And Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spoke he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And ultimately what Jesus is saying to Peter is this. He's saying, Peter, there is a tremendous grace working in your heart. Yes, you've just experienced a great personal failure. I know you're very discouraged. But Peter, what I want you to know more than anything is there is a great grace tremendously working in your heart. See, Peter, when you was young, you went where the desires of your heart wanted to go. But Peter, now that you're older, now that you are at a place where you truly understand you can do nothing without me, now that you are at a place where you truly understand you cannot live the Christian life apart from my strength in you, now my grace is going to carry you and strengthen you to walk in places you could never go in your own strength. They will not be easy places, but they will be places where I will be so glorified in and through you, and my grace will be so magnified in your life. And Peter, does this mean you'll never have times of personal failure again? No. But it does mean that in spite of it, there's a tremendous grace working in your life, making you into something you could never be in your own strength. And ultimately, Peter, your life is and will bring me glory. That's what the Lord is saying to Peter. That's what he's saying to Peter. And brothers and sisters, for someone that truly loves the Lord, you cannot get a greater promise than that. When the desire of your heart is to honor God, even in the dark things, even in the difficult times, when the desire of your heart is to honor God, you cannot receive a greater word of encouragement than that. Your life will glorify me. My grace will be exalted in your life. People will see that it's not you, but it's my mercy, my compassion, my power in you, and you will be glorified in my life. There's not a greater promise than that. And this is what I love about this story. In Peter's greatest personal failure, he receives his greatest promise. The Lord comes to him in his greatest time. I mean, Peter has failed. I mean, you go through the Gospels, but this time when he denies Jesus and his heart is crushed, and he just feels so unworthy just to be a disciple, Jesus comes and makes him the greatest promise. Peter, you're going to learn what it is to walk in my strength and grace, and I will be glorified in your life. That's the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord wants to speak that to somebody today. I will be glorified in your life. Can I just share with you my heart? Let me share you with my heart. Walking with God, this is what I have found. Walking with God. Grace does its greatest work in your heart in times of failure. Grace does its greatest work in your heart in times of failure. Because when you are truly at that place where you can understand, God, I can't do nothing without you. God, I am so needy of you. God, if it's not your grace and strength in me, I don't have power to do it. I don't have power to go. When you are at that place of humility, that's when grace can really work in your life. Some of the greatest turning points for some of the greatest men of God have come through failure. Failure was the turning point of Moses' life. Failure was the turning point of Peter's life. Failure was the place where their heart was truly humbled and God says, now I'm going to teach you how to walk in my grace and strength. And you're going to be able to go places you could never go before. Brothers and sisters, Peter's failure was the Lord's greatest success. It was the very thing that broke him, the very thing that made him see, I cannot live this crucified life without Christ. It doesn't matter how much I boast about going to the cross with him. I cannot live this crucified life without him. It's all of him and none of me. Brothers and sisters, I have learned, as painful as they are, when your heart is really given to the Lord, don't despise failure. Because it really does work a humility in your heart. And the more you go down in your heart, the more grace picks you up and carries you up in God. Because God gives grace to the humble. Stand with me this morning.